A rare glimpse now into the research division at Bridgewater. Our next guest oversees a team of 150 at the world's largest hedge fund and said, we're in a new era of policy, post-interest rates, post-QE. Joining us now is Karen Carniel-Tambour of Bridgewater Associates, which, as we all know, has about $160 billion in institutional investments. Karen, what is an MP3 world?
Well, Vani, as the world changes, investing needs to change with it. And really, in most of modern history, interest rate changes were the primary driver of economic cycles. The Fed raised and lowered interest rates, and that was probably the most important thing that drove the economic cycle. Then we got to the financial crisis, and quantitative easing, or printing money, became the most important lever. But that also ran into constraints, because at the end of the day, you can print all you want, but the Federal Reserve doesn't really have the mandate to figure out who's going to get that money. And a lot of money went into financial assets and not the real economy. So now the world is changing again, and the new era of policy that it will take to drive economic cycles is really coordinating fiscal and monetary policy. Printing money on one hand, and on the other hand, running large fiscal expansion packages, large fiscal stimulation. And that combination means that printed money can make it into the hands of those who need it through the fiscal package. And at Bridgewater, we've called this Monetary Policy 3 or MP3, with Monetary Policy 1 really being interest rates and the second phase being quantitative easing. And now us being in the new world, well, what's really required is both the money printing and the fiscal stimulation.
But Karen, haven't central bankers been advocating this approach for a long time now and really getting nowhere, both here in the United States and in Europe?
Well, certainly central banks, and especially the ECB in Europe, have said for a long time, don't leave us on our own. We need the fiscal side to play its role. But that hasn't actually really started happening in large part kind of around the world until the COVID crisis, where it became more clear and obvious that without fiscal stimulation, we simply will not get out of the current downturn. And you're seeing the biggest differences across the world being governments that have been able to pull that lever and go and do fiscal stimulation and ones that haven't, and what a large difference that's made in what the recoveries have been like.
Karen, how does this macro idea play into the systematized approach that Bridgewater takes in many of its strategies?
Well, for us, understanding how the world works is the single most important input to figure out how to invest. And so we take this backdrop of this is how cycles will work and then try to understand it, quantify it, and decide what that means we should invest in. I mean, maybe the most obvious thing is that nominal bonds are a lot less useful to investors than they used to be, because when interest rates were what moved, that was a very large driver of the cycle and a very, very important tool for investors in deciding what to hold, and a major diversifier for stocks. Now rates are basically zero everywhere. There's almost no carry left in the bonds, and policymakers are really managing the bond yield pretty closely through the money printing. So it's a much less interesting asset class. At the same time, equities are still extremely important in any strategic asset allocation, but policymakers are doing everything they can through this set of policies to put money into the real economy. We're seeing how much, when there's both printing and fiscal stimulation, a lot can be left over to go into the stock market. But most portfolios are already too concentrated in equities. So where a lot of our research has been is, what are the most important assets to diversify equities in this environment of fiscal and monetary coordination, fiscal and monetary stimulation? And, you know, what we've really thought is that assets like gold and inflation-linked bonds are especially very important to investors right now, because if policymakers don't succeed in getting the economy going, they could easily succeed in still reflating, still creating some inflation, still devaluing the currency through their actions. Yesterday's inflation print, for example, really reflected that inflation is recovering much faster than in prior recessions, which is reflective of this new era of policies that we're in and how important it is for investors to balance their equities with something that will help them in the case of inflation.
Yeah, I mean, definitely some of the subcomponents were very pandemic related, right? Like cell phone, you know, inflation and so on. And it was still overall below pre-pandemic inflation. But how concerned are you at Bridgewater that inflation is coming within the next 2 years, let's say?
I'd say, again, it's less that we're concerned that we're about to have a hyperinflation, as much as we think investors are not ready for the balance of the outcomes that could happen. And so because these policies have been especially focused on getting money into the hands of people and printing money, the possibility of devaluing the currency through such policies and therefore having gold go up, or the possibility that people who have so far saved a lot of their checks at home that they've gotten from the government will eventually go spend them, or that there'll be supply constraints that get created through the crisis, is just greater than in a typical downturn that's highly deflationary. And given that that's the mix of policies and the policymakers have said they're prepared to handle more inflation than in the past, very important for investors to be prepared and hold assets like inflation-linked bonds that will just pay you CPI, whatever it ends up being, and gold that will help you in case the currency is devalued.
So just a little hedge somewhere in your portfolio, at least, even if it's not for sure that we're getting even regular inflation, never mind hyperinflation. You also talk about a tripolar world. There's been a lot of, you know, concern expressed recently about a Cold War II. Does Bridgewater buy into that theory?
Well, the main advice we really have for investors is, first, if you believe it's a tripolar world, and I think that that is unquestionable that we're in a tripolar world, meaning you look at the US, China, and Europe, and these are three big entities that each contribute very similar amounts to global output and demand at this point, each run their own monetary and fiscal policies, kind of set on their own needs. And if anything happens in any of those countries, there's a real ripple effect to a lot of countries around them. And so if you kind of start from that picture, as an investor, why would you only want to have your money in one of the three? And most investors are really highly concentrated in the United States. And so, especially at a time when then you're going to what you're saying, you could have more of a Cold War. You're obviously having a lot of pressure around fragmentation, pressure on companies to have their production be more localized, pressure to think through whether or not you'll be allowed to move things across all these borders, and something that could turn more into outright conflict. It's not a sensible time to kind of say, let me just have my investments in one of the three poles. Then, you know, you basically say, where are investors not? And most investors in the world have very, very little in China, much less in China than you'd expect, given its actual weight and heft in the global economic system at this point.
Just very briefly, Karen, would you do that through ADRs here in the US, or would you actually invest differently to try and take advantage of, you know, a China play?
Well, I think that a lot of investors have only now started realizing how much the Chinese have opened up access to their capital markets onshore in China. And so the more you have the ability to go onshore in China, get the companies that really reflect what the Chinese economy is, I'd recommend build the best portfolio you can of both Chinese bonds, which, unlike everything I said about US bonds, a lot more useful in China because the rates are much higher, and whatever collection of Chinese stocks you can put together that best reflects what that economy is really like, which would include, you know, both more international brands, more local brands, and the possibility to do that is really opening up for investors very quickly.
All right, Karen, thank you for those insights there. We will talk to you again soon and get some updates. Karen Carneal-Tambur is Bridgewater Associates Co-Director of Investment Research.